The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Tony Hendra, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. Our faithful fans know that we tell the truth. As it says in the Bible, satire is truth, and the Bible cannot lie. So in this, our 155th radio show and podcast, we go behind the scenes with fundamentalist Catholic and pauperphobe Paul Ryan and the battle over Speaker of the House. God shows off on radio. We present the trailer for the long-awaited sequel to Jaws, Blubber, examine the nationwide scourge of resting bitch face, ask the question, who's the new Prime Minister of Canada, eh? And reveal how Jeb got his exclamation point! So poke in those earbuds and away we go with the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Man on the street!
Scientists say there may be an alien megastructure revolving around a distant star. The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
There better be parking.
I built this huge structure in space. It's the best. It's completely covered in gold.
I'll go to any planet where there's work.
Yeah, there's some giant megastructure circling a distant star. My ex-wife's hanging out with the lead singer of Fish.
Hey, fat ex-wife, I got a megastructure in my pants.
That sounds like a lot of math.
I got an alien megastructure in my pants. In the back of my pants.
As long as that goddamn thing's not orbiting my daughter, I'm fine.
So you're saying that by the time light gets here from that planet, Modern Family will still be on the air?
Good morning and welcome to Look, Bob, The Point Is. I'm Bob Girth. Our guest this morning is Lance Porkborough, a longtime Republican operative and advisor to GOP candidates for president. Mr. Porkborough, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
Mr. Porkborough, this week, Jeb Bush struggled to explain why it's okay to blame Hillary Clinton for what happened in Benghazi, but it's not okay to blame George W. Bush for the 9/11 attacks. Don't you think he's being a bit hypocritical?
Not at all, Bob. Remember, that was the most terrible day in American history.
You mean 9/11?
No, Benghazi.
Well, just in terms of scale, 9/11 was a much, much bigger tragedy, wouldn't you agree?
Tell that to the families of those we lost in Benghazi.
Of course, but we only lost 4 people in Benghazi, compared to 3,000 on 9/11.
Only 4 people, yes, but for some reason, Hillary Clinton wanted them dead.
But you simply can't compare that to the World Trade Center and 3,000 people.
The World Trade Center was not George W. Bush's fault. Like Jeb said, President Bush kept us safe.
How did he keep us safe on September 11th?
Look, Bob, the point is, from September 12th, 2001 on, no terrorism. That's about 2,668 days of peace and quiet compared with the one day that Donald Trump keeps harping on. Not even a day. It's like, what, 2 hours?
Mr. Porkborough, you know, and I know, that for 8 months, the Bush administration was warned repeatedly about the threat of an imminent terrorist attack, but didn't do anything about it.
Bob, I wish Donald Trump would just for once mention that the day after 9/11, every single one of those hijackers was dead.
Of course the hijackers were dead. They were all in the crashed planes.
Look, Bob, the point is they never hijacked anything ever again.
Well, even you have to admit that it was President Obama who finally got bin Laden.
Not true, Bob. It was a Navy SEAL who did the shooting. If it were up to Obama, nobody would have any guns.
But if we're talking about safety, Bush couldn't catch bin Laden, and Obama did. Can't you just give Obama credit for that?
Look, Bob. The point is, Obama didn't even want to kill bin Laden. He wanted to capture him alive.
I've never heard that.
Oh, it's true, Bob. Obama wanted him brought straight to the White House.
Why would Obama want bin Laden in the White House?
Well, the truth is, Bob, Obama wanted to be with him.
Be with him? Mr. Porkborough, what are you suggesting?
Forgive me if I don't spell it out for you, Bob.
That is really disgusting.
I feel the same way, Bob. I'm old-fashioned. I think boys should like girls.
Mr. Porkborough, don't you think it's time the Republicans stop making up ridiculous lies about the president? You know very well these things aren't true. Obama is not a Muslim terrorist, and he was not born in Africa.
I've never said he was, Bob. I take President Obama at his word that he's a Christian who was born in Hawaii.
Thank you.
And at some point, for reasons we don't fully understand, he fell head over heels in love with Osama bin Laden.
Why, in God's name, would President Obama fall in love with Osama bin Laden?
I wish I knew, Bob. Maybe he thought he could change him.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Million Dollar Quiz. And here's your host, Steve Trelawney.
All right, finalists. Your knowledge of the hits of Katy Perry, the history of the Nabisco Company, and the rules of shuffleboard got you this far. Are you ready for our last sudden death, winner-takes-all question?
Totally.
Born ready, baby.
All righty then. Here we go. For $1 million. Who is the Prime Minister of Canada? Just buzz in when you have the answer. Prime Minister, Canada. Anybody? Doug? The Canadian Prime Minister. Prime Minister of the second biggest country on the globe. Elected this week in one of the highest election turnouts in modern democracy. Liz, ideas? I'll give you a clue. He's of the Liberal Party. For $1 million, what's his name? Okay. My producer's telling me since the election just happened, we will also accept the name of the last Canadian Prime Minister. Prime Minister for almost a decade. Seriously? Right, let's blow this wide open. I'm gonna throw this into the studio audience too. For $1 million, name any Prime Minister of Canada. From any historical period you like. Well, that's all we have time for. Join us next week for another culturally revealing edition of Million Dollar Quiz.
And now, the final edition brings you an interview with Jeb Bush's exclamation point. Hello.
Hello!
Whoa, could you tone it down a little?
I'll try. I'm not a period.
You've single-handedly turned Jeb into Jeb. How did you come to be in it?
I had to audition. It was between me, dollar sign, and an animated smiley face emoticon.
You were supposed to draw attention to his first name so people would forget he was a Bush, correct?
Right. I was supposed to make you forget Afghanistan, Iraq, Dick Cheney, and the worst economic meltdown in American history.
That's a lot for one punctuation mark.
He should have tried using ellipses or brackets or something.
You've been there for all the controversies with Donald Trump.
I'd give anything to work on the Trump campaign.
Really? Isn't Jeb smarter than Trump?
So what? Say what you want about Trump, he knows how to use an exclamation point.
Have you had any offers from any of the other Republican candidates?
Ben Carson! But that guy doesn't need an exclamation point. He needs cocaine and a Snickers bar.
What will you miss most when this campaign is over?
I'm good pals with Jeb's low poll numbers. And I'm friends with George W. Bush's W.
Thank you, exclamation point.
You're welcome!
Charlie Reimer?
Yeah? You're the warden from my old prison.
You look thin. You eating all right?
I've been staying out of trouble, warden, I swear to God. I go to AA meetings. I applied for a job at the roller rink. I think you're going to be proud of me.
Yeah, whatever. Take this gun.
What? No! Why?
Just take the gun. It's a nice weight in your hand. It feels like real power, you know?
It's a parole violation. I can't even be around firearms. I'm getting my life together.
Are you? Are you really? You got a girlfriend?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Is she hot?
She's a good woman.
Oh, God.
She's working on herself.
Look, I brought tequila. You traded your kids for tequila. One of your kids, right?
I'm sober. You're supposed to keep me out of prison.
No, actually, I'm not. I run a private prison. It's a business. Businesses need repeat customers. Christ, that's marketing 101. Look, just smell the tequila.
I've got a job interview in 45 minutes.
You've got a prison record and they won't hire you. And your girlfriend is fat. Look, you think sobriety feels good? Drugs feel better. Everybody knows this.
But if I keep applying for work...
You'll fail, and you'll feel worse because you tried. Here, put this cocaine on your dick.
Get away from me!
You can't find a job, right? People who haven't been in prison can't find a job. But, buddy, you're trained for something. Being in jail. You're good at it.
But you said in prison you would get us ready for the outside world.
Did I really say that? What did we teach you at the machine shop? About tightening screws.
Righty-loosey, lefty-tighty.
We taught you completely wrong. We even had to find screws that turn the wrong way. Look, I want to help you. Here's my sister's phone number. She's a nice girl. She works with the blind. Go rape her.
No! I don't care if I starve on the outside. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to just fail.
Come on, rape my sister. She's a good kid.
No, go away. I'm staying right here.
Fine. It'd be a lot easier if you went to prison. But at least this way we get all the kids in your neighborhood.
What are you talking about? Hey, has that giant prison wall always surrounded the neighborhood?
Nope.
I'm Donald Trump in Patagonia.
Once in a generation, an opera experience comes around that redefines the art form. For this generation, that experience is the riveting Trump in Patagonia.
Donald Trump in Patagonia.
If you loved Nixon in China, there's this.
I'm Donald Trump in Patagonia.
Vanity Fair raves, an astonishing display, powerful and mesmerizing, about a performance of Don Giovanni in 2007.
I'm Donald Trump in Patagonia.
Bob Monar says,
it's just some guy singing I'm Donald Trump in Patagonia over and over, and not very well. Oh, and I'm not any kind of music reviewer or anything.
I'm Donald Trump in Patagonia.
Here's Anthony Tomasini, opera reviewer for the New York Times.
Taxi! Over here, taxi!
Hey, aren't you Anthony Tomasini?
What? Who are you?
Here, listen to this.
I'm Donald Trump in Patagonia.
Get away from me or I'm calling a cop.
I'm Donald Trump in Patagonia.
Donald Trump says, you will be amazed. Your head is gonna spin. He says it all the time, about everything.
I'm Donald Trump in Patagonia.
From the makers of this radio ad, Trump in Patagonia. Tickets at Telegeorge.
With luck, we'll be back
with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Pull up your pants, we're back! It's the Final Edition Radio Hour!
All right, Ted Cruz, Steve Scalise, and girl.
Kathy McMorris Rogers, I'm the Republican Conference Chair.
Sure you are. Anyway, come on, guys. We have to pick a Speaker of the House.
Well, everyone wants Paul Ryan. Why don't you just accept the nomination, Paul?
No way, Cruz. I'm going to be president.
Yeah, well, me too, Paul.
Come on, you guys. I'm serious. We have to pick a Speaker of the House.
What about me, Michelle Bachmann?
Oh, get out of here, Michelle. You're weirding us all out.
Yeah, stop covering yourself in mud and put some clothes on.
Yeah, fly away and play with your creepy dolls, Michelle.
I'm a witch. I'm straight from Hogwarts.
Man, she always does it.
Freaks everybody out.
Who are you again? Could you get me a drink real quick?
I'm the Republican Conference Chair. You've worked with me for like...
Hey, fuck you guys. The Pope was right. Double Freedom Rockets!
Boehner's gonna keep doing that, isn't he?
Hey, until we get a speaker!
Hey, fellas, what about me?
Who the hell are you?
Daniel Webster, Florida, 10th District.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, easy, Steve.
No, I'm serious. This dipshit, he's losing his district. His fucking district! He takes the name of one of the greatest orators ever, and he can't even keep his district!
Oh no, here comes Boehner again.
Double Freedom Rockets!
What about the Newt?
And you are?
Wait, don't come be right. Let's bring back Newt Gingrich.
Oh, great idea, Steve.
It was my idea.
No, we can't, fellas.
Why?
He's too liberal.
Newt Gingrich is too liberal?
Yes, when he shuts down the government, he's willing to open it back up.
Oh, good point.
Right.
Didn't think of that.
What a commie.
You know I am Republican Conference Chair.
All right, then. What are we going to do?
Jason Chaffetz.
I'll do it. I have a chart.
Where did you get that chart, Jason?
A dude.
Get out of here.
I'm going to run for president.
Oh, no. Boehner.
Double Freedom Rockets!
I got it!
Who?
Dick Cheney!
Cheney! Yes! Cheney!
All right, okay. I'll do it, but I get to shoot each of you in the face.
Done! We have a speaker!
Girl, bring us drinks.
I'm Republican Conference Chair.
Double Freedom Rockets!
Don't worry, everyone. Cheney shot Boehner in the face.
Yeehaw!
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah. Too late.
Welcome back to the Bob Scott Show. Substituting for Bob Scott is... God.
Line 4, you're on the air with God.
Hey, what is this, some kind of sick, stupid joke or something? This is just Bob playing a trick on everybody, right?
No, this is the chance of a lifetime. This is God.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'll prove it. It just went dark in your neighborhood, and you're being pelted by a rain of black-spotted frogs.
So?
What do you mean, so?
Bob could do that.
Line 5.
Hey, God, I just wanted to thank you for my unusual job making chocolate Easter bunnies.
Well, it's no big miracle. A lot of people make chocolate Easter bunnies.
Yeah, but they get it down to the last detail, right down to the look of terror on their furry little faces.
Why would a chocolate Easter bunny look terrified?
Well, you would too if you were about to be dipped in hot, scalding chocolate.
You mean you use real bunnies? That's terrible.
You think that's bad? You gotta see how we make lawn jockeys.
We return after the break to the Bob Scott Show, hosted by God.
Do you have resting bitch face? You know, when you're just hanging out, not really thinking of anything, but quite unintentionally your face looks like a goddamn bitch? Symptoms of resting bitch face include making strangers worry.
Hey, girl, what's up with you?
Or having construction workers remind you to...
Smile, baby, smile!
And having the guys at work wonder...
You look bad. You on your period? Everybody take cover!
If that sounds familiar to you, then you probably have resting bitch face. It's an epidemic that's sweeping the nation. Just ask Hillary Clinton.
I was texting a picture of a kitten to Joe Biden... But resting bitch face made it look like I was mad as hell. And now people think I'm mean.
And Angelina Jolie.
I'm hanging out with my adorable kids in an apple orchard, and I'm just about to sneak off behind a hay bale and fool around with Brad Pitt. That's the real Brad Pitt. But when the paparazzi took my picture, I had resting bitch face. And now people think I'm ungrateful and miserable.
Resting bitch face is a problem affecting millions of only women. But the good news is, plastic surgery can help. Resting bitch face. It's not pretty. Men don't like it. So fix it.
And now, a clip of the Vagina Network series premiere of Gloria De Silva, Lesbian Psychic.
Gloria De Silva, Lesbian Psychic.
Oh, Rachel, you feel so good. That's it. Now, a little over to the left. A little more. Oh, yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah.
I just had a vision. I have to call the chief of police right away. Chief of Police Jones, yeah? There's going to be trouble.
What? Who is it?
You have to close down Central Park immediately.
Where do you get this number?
Tune in to the Vagina Network for the full episode of Gloria De Silva, Lesbian Psychic.
How do they look, Doc?
Well, they're longer and wrinklier than a normal person's your age.
We're still talking about my balls, right?
Yes.
Damn.
Let me ask you something. Are you into comic books?
Yeah. Why?
Do you ever go to comic book conventions or dress up like your favorite comic book superheroes?
Yeah, just last week, but what does any of that have to do with,
Let's take a break from that for a while.
Why?
Well, there's a high correlation between being fascinated with comic books and having long, wrinkly, torsion-prone testicles.
How?
Fans of comics tend to, let's just say, over-abuse themselves.
What? I do not over-abuse myself.
Just try laying off the comic books for a bit. Maybe play golf instead.
But the new issue of Avengers is here. Black Widow was captured and is locked in an airtight cage. I love her. I love her, Doc. I love her.
Okay, let's get your pants back on here. You're getting a little bit aroused.
Can I use your bathroom?
Sure. What a freak.
Doctor, your new issue of Golf Digest just came in.
Nice. Thank you, Betsy.
Sure thing.
Oh, God. Look at these irons. Look at these woods. Look at these wedges! Oh, fuck you!
The final edition urges you to stop abusing yourself with material images. Go outside or something, for Christ's sake. Oh, look. The latest issue of Covered Bridges came in. Nice.
Oh, hey, look at you guys. Okay, let's see what we got here. We got ourselves a Chewbacca.
Oh!
Nice. And we got ourselves another Chewbacca. Excellent. Okay, and oh, Lord Vader.
I am your father.
Sweet. Oh, hey, no brainer here. Princess Leia.
I kissed my brother.
Ew!
Yeah, ooh is right. Okay, well, let's get you guys some candy!
Yay!
Okay, here we go. Now, just one each, please.
Do you have anything without gluten?
Actually, I don't know.
Gluten gives me the shit.
Yeah, wheat is poison!
I wasn't aware. Milky Way?
Gluten! Ah!
Okay, sorry.
Do you have anything without nuts?
Sure I do. Let's see. Here's a lollipop.
Wait, did you pull that from the same bowl as the candy with nuts?
Yeah, why?
Cross-contaminator.
Hey, mister! Are you trying to kill my brother?
Wait, what? No!
Murderer!
Oh, come on! All right, hang on. Okay, I got this coupon book. Nobody's allergic to paper, right? So, who wants McDonald's?
Ew!
Rainforest killer!
Chemical warfare!
GMO's gross!
Wow. Okay, How about a coupon or a Frosty from Wendy's, then?
I'm lactose intolerant, douchebag.
No, take one.
Who's that?
That's my brother. He's dressed as Stephen Hawking. He'd come up here and get it himself if you had wheelchair access, you discriminating asshole.
Fuck you.
I'll screw this. Get his wallet. Got it. Woo-hoo! $100.
Let's go get some hookers and crack.
Yeah!
Happy, happy Halloween. Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween.
Happy, happy Halloween.
Hello, mister. Are you okay?
Just take this.
Coupon for Subway? You prove it.
From the people who brought you Jaws.
Oh, aren't those sea elephants cute? They're so fat and they're eating all those fish. Jeez.
It's Blubber, the story of a vicious sea elephant that climbs on shore in search of sun and garbage.
Oh my God, he's only a few feet away. Come on, honey, drink your beer, finish your lunch. He'll be on us in about 3 hours.
2 hours later.
He's getting closer. Is he closer? No, wait, I think he fell asleep.
Blubber. You'll never feed them another sardine.
We're downwind from him. Run for it. Oh, jeez.
News of America for the next 400 years.
July 7th, 2034. Thailand surpasses the United States in wealth, life expectancy, and education. So we invade and liberate them. Now every American gets a free whore and a bungee jump ride. Hooray us!
February 19, 2198. Russia says it will send a man to Saturn, so America goes there first. Without any planning or tax money, we shoot a man into space and land him on Saturn 5 minutes later, where he retires and marries a waitress. Mazel tov!
September 4th, 2204. With an average body mass index of 42, indicating obesity, America nonetheless challenges Finland to a nationwide foot race and wins. America always wins. We're a nation of winners.
October 4th, 2270. Jesus Christ comes to earth to bless one lucky nation. And what does Jesus want to know first? Who can eat the most chicken wings? Well, we'll tell you who. 300-year-old wing bowl champion Bill Simmons, known for more than two centuries as El Wingador. He trounces all comers, earning Christ's blessing and ensuring that America remains the moral arbiter of the world.
Good on you, America. You did everything right.
They don't like it when I roll my R's. Here if I do it more. Next on the final edition.
Okay, I think you should do all of these.
What?
I'm just
you don't improvise, that you're telling me?
No, I can't improvise this. There's not enough substance to get my teeth into.
After these messages, the final edition radio hour will go to pi squared.
We will be right back after this.
Now do something French. Imagine drinking wine.
Just did.
We'll be back to discuss on the final edition radio hour.
Okay, these are incomprehensible. That's enough.
We'll be back soon with more of the final edition
radio hour.
Welcome back to the final edition radio hour. I'm Tony Hedra. In this show, we're airing the third and final portion of my conversation with legendary editor and essayist Lewis Lapham about satire, satirists, and their role in modern society. At this point in the conversation, we're discussing one of satire's ripest targets, media pundits and their self-appointed role as guardians of the Republic's destiny. Like, you know, David Brooks.
All of those Sunday morning TV shows are that. And I can't end up listening to George Will or David Brooks. David Brooks does it for PBS. But it's swill slopped into the bowl of the...
It's actually, and I think...
Gruel.
I've heard David Brooks described as NPR's sort of straight talker, you know. He tells it like it is at the New York Times. And it's just extraordinary how words don't mean what they mean, which comes back to George, of course, because words were everything.
Well, he wants to teach a moral lesson at all the time. It's all about character. It's never about money. If people are poor or unsuccessful or unhappy, it's because they haven't learned humility or they haven't learned the meaning of... I mean, he's got a column this morning in a paper about how to be grateful.
For your food stamps.
There used to be a Catholic priest, Cardinal Sheehan. Do you remember him?
I remember him very well.
And he used to do...
Sheen, actually, his name was.
Sheen, I think, yeah. But he would give self-improving, helpful lectures.
Right, on Sunday night.
On Sunday nights, right. I mean, you could think of essentially the Washington media establishment as a college of cardinals.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, look what they're going on about this year's election, the presidential election. First of all, it isn't even an election. It's a staging of the legend of democracy. It's this pageant, kind of thing you'd put on at a state fair, and prolonging it over 2 years with candy-coated sound bites and bombast bursting in air to prove that our flag is still there. I mean, the pretense, it's a show. It's like the Super Bowl. And the fact is that we don't have in this country a working democracy. What we have is a oligarchy. But people want to believe otherwise, and the show gets more and more expensive to put on because it's hard to keep an audience. I mean, in I think all but six or seven states in the United States, one's individual vote does not count. Certainly that's true in New York because of the way the Electoral College works. It's a majority, and the majority is always going to be Democratic, blue, and same thing in California. And there are other states that are going to be red no matter what. And so it's meaningless. And
so what you want, I mean, of a vote in New York is like a fraction of a vote in, say, Indiana.
Well, not even in Indiana, because it isn't even a fraction. The electoral vote counts, and there are certain swing states, Ohio, Florida, Virginia, maybe North Carolina, where it actually could go one way or another, where there are enough Democrats and enough Republicans, so the margin could tilt it one way or another. But in most states, that's just not true. And in a state where the electoral vote is already established and has been for the last 10 years, the individual vote doesn't really matter very much.
Right.
And the American people are not stupid. They know this. And the people like Brooks in Washington are always complaining about how Americans don't vote and how we now have less than 50% of the eligible voters vote in a presidential election.
There's nobody to vote for.
Their vote doesn't count.
Well, but also, if you don't want to vote for either of the two main candidates because you don't like either of them and you think they're both hopelessly compromised, you're not going to vote. What's the point?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And there's no chance to vote for a third candidate. So they spend more and more and more money and take more and more time in order to try to drum up interest, get an audience. And so now we've now got 15 candidates on the Republican side. I mean, we're trying to put on a vaudeville show. And fortunately, we've got Donald Trump.
Right. That's great. Fabulous.
True Democrat.
Yeah, populist. So we were talking, we talked once before about these things. In fact, it was about a year ago. And I asked you whether you thought America was finished, given these opinions and analyses. And you said, yes, you thought so. Or words to that effect.
Okay, well, that's wrong. Because the trouble with that is the word America and the word finished. What do we mean by either one of those words? The America of George Washington was far different place than the America of Abraham Lincoln, which is a far different place from the America of Teddy Roosevelt or the America of Eisenhower or of Obama. I mean, they are different sets of circumstance. What do we mean by America? Do we mean a place that holds out large opportunity for people to make their own way or find their own, follow their own dream? Do we mean a certain kind of a life? Because if you take the international measurements of quality of life in terms of longevity, I don't know, there are 20 or 28 categories compiled by the UN, and the America comes well below many other countries in the world at the moment. The constitutions that have been written around the world in the last 10 years are not taking the American Constitution as a model. Democracy, so-called, is losing its appeal in large parts of the world, certainly in China, certainly in Russia, certainly in parts of Europe. And again, what do we mean by democracy? I mean, as I just got finished saying, we don't really have democracy in the United States. We have democratic temperament, I think. I mean, the way the Americans deal with one another, but even that is changing. And there's been an argument about, a very bitter argument about capital and labor, between capital and labor in the United States for, you know, well over 100 years. But to read the press, you wouldn't believe that. I mean, they say we're the kind of this exceptional nation where there is no social injustice and so on. And we see now, we're seeing this year, really for the first time in recent memory, people beginning to actually notice, get upset by income inequality, by the punishment that the creditors class is imposing on the debtor class in the United States, basically sucking them dry. I mean, from the point of view of the banks and the credit card companies, the American people might as well be cattle in stockyard feed pens in California, and they're giving off toxic gas, and what that toxic gas is debt. And that is what is the profit of what they call the FIRE section of the economy, finance, insurance, and real estate. We've developed a rentier class. America is today by no means as fair or free a place as it was, let's say, in 1941 or 1945, even in 1960.
When I first came here in the 60s, it was certainly a much more democratically equal place.
So, I mean, you can say America finished as what? I mean,
I'm not sure that was actually the phrase, but it was what's next?
I don't know what's next. I mean, you know, in my darker moments, I think what's next is some form of fascism with a friendly face. There's more and more crowd control, clearly fear on the part of the oligarchy. They're beginning to be essentially, they're afraid of the American people, I think. You see it in the reaction of the police, I mean, to the black unhappiness in the streets. You see it in the kind of budget that Republicans, the Ryan budget that's on offer, where it's more and more and more money for weapons less and less money for infrastructure, for what we call a social safety net, cut food stamps, add missiles. It's a frightened ruling class. And people, any group of people, gets more dangerous when they get more frightened.
Indeed.
So I would not be surprised to see some form of social upheaval, because now it's finally beginning to cut into the middle class. I, you know, 3 years ago would simply dismiss the idea of revolution of any kind as nonsense. But now the middle class is beginning to really hurt. You read all the statistics and the way that employment is and the way that the redistribution of, not redistribution, it's the sharing of the common enterprise. And I think the signs of fear show up not only in the reactions on the part of the heavily armed police, but also the $15 minimum wage in Los Angeles and Seattle and here in New York. I mean, that the oligarchy doesn't do that unless they're a little bit nervous, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know which way the change will go, but the people will stay, if they're comfortable with a government that they don't respect, is usually preferable to being uncomfortable under a government that one does respect. And the question is, how many people are willing to be a little bit uncomfortable with a government that they might respect? Because in order to get that kind of a government or that kind of a society, a lot of people are going to have to give up a lot. And the rich don't usually like to give things up.
Right.
And government doesn't usually like to give up power.
No, well, the government certainly doesn't like to give up power, as you say, the ambitions of power. But certainly it doesn't seem like satire has helped very much in
no.
our time.
No, maybe not. So, maybe not.
But I'm not sure that that's the function of satire. Satire.
I don't think it is. I mean, satire, I mean, to move crowds to action, it's a different kind of rhetoric.
Right.
Churchill, you know, in 1940, blood, sweat, toil, and tears, right? It's that kind of language that you need, or it's the language of Eugene Debs, let's say, in 1912, when the Socialist Party gets 25% of the vote.
Yeah, but I would argue that genuine satirists who are really telling the truth about life as opposed to the version of life which is being sold to us do right. actually... I mean, George had this wonderful thing. He said, when you're making people laugh, if it's about something that they have never laughed at, especially if it's about something that they have never laughed at, that is when you can change their minds, in that instant, when they just laugh uncontrollably.
I think that's true. And I think that satire like that can prepare people to
elect a government they might respect.
Yes, and to listen to the rhetoric of somebody like, let's say, Bernie Sanders.
Right. Indeed.
Who is not himself a satirist. But revolutions, I think, have to be led by idealists. But their audience has to be prepared by satirists.
Great. Let's leave it there.
Okay.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be back in seconds.
Hi, Tony Hendra here again. And now, a new Final Edition Radio Hour feature. Our most popular tracks of the week on the new National Lampoon Presents the Final Edition iHeart Radio channel.
I knew Brad was the one for me. As soon as I looked at his profile, I saw his bitchin' truck, and he looked bitchin', and he was cool.
And Cheryl seemed cool, you know? I told my friend Andrew she looked cool.
Why you gotta bring up Andrew?
Andrew's cool.
You always bring your friends into it. It's about us.
Why have you got me on the rag like 20 days a month?
Fuck you, Brad!
Oh, here it comes.
At OK Stupid, we match people who just aren't very bright. Our questionnaire uncovers the qualities you need for a long-term codependent relationship from which neither party can escape.
Give back my phone. Stop being drunk.
I will cut you.
You'll cut me with my phone?
Find that black hole of a relationship you've always dreamed of on OK Stupid.
What a baby.
Look out! It's Mar from the Final Edition Radio Hour!
Oh, no, they didn't!
Oh, this does look like a fancy restaurant. How did you hear about it?
It's the restaurant that the CIA opened to prove that their practice of forced rectal feeding was not torture.
So, all the food goes up your butt?
Come on, just try it. The website I saw gave it 2 thumbs up. Way up. My friend ate here. Well, technically, he didn't eat.
Did he recommend anything?
Yes. Stay away from the swordfish. Ah, here we go.
Welcome to Shea Rectal. Do you have a reservation?
No, we don't.
No problem. We can squeeze you in. It's what we do. Ah, table for two right over here. Please sit down while you still can.
I'll have what she's having.
Honey, I'm sure they've heard it all.
We don't mind. If our customers can take it, so can we. The wine list is there on the back page of your menu, under rectal hydration.
Honey, white or red?
Oh, it all comes out red. If you're adventurous, you might order a carafe.
Water's fine. I think we'll go straight to dinner.
As you wish. Although, before your main entree, we do recommend having a tossed salad.
Oh, I'll go for that.
But of course.
Mm. Oh, oh my. Oh, yes. Oh, God, that is good. Oh, yes. Wait, what's that in your hand?
Ground pepper.
Ow! Oh, oh, Jesus! That's enough. That's enough. Well, honey, you've got to try this.
I'll have this soup. Thank you. Oh, ooh!
Careful, it's hot. And what would Madame like for the main course?
You know, I could never stomach the thought of frog's legs, but here, stomach has nothing to do with it. I'll try them.
And I'll have the lobster tail. 16 ounces good.
A 20 ounce is better.
Ah, what the hell. 20 ounce it is.
Here you go.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, Jesus Christ. No, no, please. Oh, waiter, can I get some melted butter? Please.
But of course, here we are.
Oh, oh, oh my, yes. That's much better, thank you. Oh, yeah. Whoa, my, yes. Honey, how are the frog legs?
Hey, they feel like chicken.
Baked potato, anyone?
Mashed, please.
Do you have risotto?
I hope you folks save room for dessert. We have cheesecake.
You know what? I am full.
Sweetie, split it with me?
Honey, you always say the cheesecake goes straight to your butt. Oh, hey. Yeah, I think we're done here.
And how was everything?
I know you say it's not torture, but we're ready to confess. We were both planning to bomb JFK
Airport. Oh!
What the hell? Both of them.
But then you simply can't leave. The floor show is just about to begin.
Really? We'd rather leave.
Nonsense. We have Christina Aguilera played at ear-splitting volume for the next 48 hours. Enjoy!
All that and more on National Lampoon's iHeart Radio channel, powered by The Final Edition.
This is a public service announcement from the New York City Police Department. Nationwide, young black men are 21 times more likely to be killed than young white men during police stops. Yet, despite this grave danger, people still risk publicly pointing out that young black men are 21 times more likely to be killed than young white men during police stops. This is just the kind of thing that gets young black men killed during police stops. If you are tempted to criticize police for stop-and-frisk policies, shooting unarmed civilians, and arrest quotas that many people say exist despite overwhelming evidence that they exist, please remember, most police officers are good at their jobs, but the New York City Police Union representative Pat Lynch is basically a child. So, when you're on the road, or at a protest rally, or just sitting around at home where you don't think anyone can hear you, please resist the urge to criticize police. Remember, one critical remark can change your life, and that's all it's going to change.
The preceding was a production of The Final Edition. Hello, gorgeous. Fly you to the moon? I'm Richard Branson. That's Sir Richard to you. Welcome to Virgin's fab new interplanetary rocket line, Virgin Spacetime. Yes, duckies, Virgin Spacetime can now fly you to the moon. And I don't mean on gossamer wings. Fly in an obscenely luxurious ruling class stateroom. Feast on endangered species from doomed planet Earth. You gastronaut, you. Have gravity-free sex with one or more of our cool white moon goddesses. Natch, natch. Wink, wink.
Virgin Spacetime, making space available for everyone who's anyone.
All that and more on National Lampoon's iHeart Radio channel, powered by The Final Edition.
Today on Clickbait, 10 popular actors who were in another thing once.
Wow, Emma Watson was totally in a movie before she was in that other movie.
A heartwarming video of a cat not being a total asshole. A hilarious video of a cat being a total asshole. 10 celebrities who aged since 15 years ago.
How dare they?
A clip from a TV show we didn't even produce, but we get the traffic.
Because it's an important message.
20 famous people who didn't used to be famous. You won't believe who's number 6.
I don't fancy Prince Charles on the list.
15 stars who've never been able to... Oops, not enough room for that headline. Guess you'll have to click just to find out what the hell it even is.
I think I just downloaded child porn.
And a guy makes an amazing political statement that isn't really that amazing.
And it's from, like, 2 years ago.
That's today on Clickbait, where it's almost like you read something.
The preceding was powered by the Final Edition.
This is the city. Over 84% of its citizens are influenced by user-generated content, but a lot of the times they're like, and I'm like, and it's like, you know, and they're all like, oh my God. When that happens, I go to work. I carry an iPhone 6 Plus.
The New Millennials.
It was Monday, March 18th. It was trendy in Los Angeles with a humidity level of 2%. We were working the day watch out of the retro facial hair division. Our boss is Troy. My partner is Crystal. He spells it with a CH. My name is Crystal, but spelled with a K. We got like a text. It was Troy. He wanted to see us in his ergonomic workspace. You wanted some FaceTime?
Really stoked to see you dudes. Take a look at this PowerPoint presentation. Somebody tweeted a tip that a vintage clothing store in Echo Park was being run by a group of young influencers with trust funds. I need your verbiage, Crystal.
Well, I think we should...
I was asking Crystal.
Okay.
No problem. Just give me your input. No, I was talking to Crystal.
What?
I was talking to Crystal.
Oh, with a K?
After failing to yield actionable ideation, we decided to Uber over to the vintage clothing store. Once there, we found nothing out of the ordinary, except for one important detail. One of them was talking about taking it to the next level without a mission statement.
Hi, welcome to Flounce. My name is Jared. How may I maximate your offline experience?
I'm Crystal. This is my partner, Crystal. We're here to ask you a few questions.
May I inquire how you heard about our establishment? Tumblr, Reddit, BuzzFeed?
Never mind that. Are you the thought leader of this limited liability company?
Nice Van Dyke, dude.
Thanks, I'm totes slamming it.
Answer the question.
I like to think I potentiate maximumative ideators to within 110% of influencer estimations. So yeah, why?
Your mission statement. How come it's not displayed on your otherwise sick website?
I don't need one. I don't care about profit.
Don't care about profit? How do you leverage brand fuel engagers?
I'm in this business for the love of it. You don't know what love is.
Unless you're talking about embiggeting influencer estimations, punk. I don't have an app for that.
I'm afraid we're going to have to slam Flounce on social media for not having a mission statement.
I can't change your mind about thought influencing across a multi-platformed media sock.
Sorry, we already tweeted it.
Fine. One thing I don't get. Isn't Crystal a chick's name?
Dude, no. Not when you spell it with a C-H.
Okay. Anybody want to listen to Drake while having butt sex?
On March 22nd, a TED Talk was held in Long Beach, California. In a moment, the results of that talk. The limited liability company Flounce was found guilty of taking it to the next level without a mission statement. It was subsequently slammed on social media.
For more, tune in to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, James Mount, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Ann Tuchel, and Darby Worley. Credit to our writers at the Final Edition Radio Hour, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Abby Parker, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Lank, Leslie Shapira, Kurt Weitzman, Kate Knowles, Jeremy Rayburn, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio edited and engineered by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC. Copyright 2015.